Welcome. You are listening to a sermon from Christ Chapel Barry.
Do you know God wants to be your friend? But you see, there are very few people that get to that level. Abraham was a friend of God. That's why God said, will I do anything without informing Abraham? He found a friend in Abraham. God will find a friend in you.
Amen.
See, we can all find a friend in Jesus. You remember that song? What a friend we have in Jesus. But you see, he's a friend to all of us. But can God find a friend in you? Can God confide in you? That is the point. Can God say, come, my son, I want to tell you something. I've not told anybody, but you are the first person I'm telling. That's what we are saying. Can God say, come, my daughter, there's something I want to tell you. It's a revelation. Others don't know, but I'm going to tell you. Why? Because he has found a friend in you. Can you please ask your neighbor, do you want to be his friend? Because there's no doubt that he wants to be your friend. Then we went to the third level of prayer. We said you can pray to God as a judge. You can come before God and say, Father, do what? Judge this situation. It's like that verse in the book of Isaiah that said, I am oppressed. Father, do what? Undertake for me. What does an undertaker do? We know what they call undertaker now. What do they do? They do what? Yes, now. Undertakers are people that take care of dead bodies. Let's bring it down to our own level. So when I say I am oppressed, undertake for me. I am saying whatever is oppressing me, terminate it in my life. Is that not so? How many of us want God to do that for us? You may not even know what is oppressing you. Talk less of knowing who. But you can come to God and say, Lord, I am what? I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Stand for me where I cannot stand for myself. We are talking of God as a judge. And we began to look at the different entities in the court of heaven. We say God the judge. We say Jesus Christ is our what? We say the Holy Spirit is our what? Our counselor. Then the Bible says there is a host. There is a host. There's a council of heaven. I know we did not discuss that. But then the Bible also says that there is one man that is called what? The adversary. Who is that man? His name is Satan. And his surname, anybody knows his surname? His surname is Failure. His name is Mr. Satan Failure. Whatever he undertakes, he does what? He fails. Even the people that serve him, that worship him with their lives, you know what he does? He deceives them. And so at the end of the day, he fails. You remember that story? When they said, the last time you came, we were campaigning. The devil will not catch you with his campaign. Because when he finishes the campaign and you get to hell and you see the reality, you say, ah, but this was not the place I saw before. I say, ah, my friend, you came here when we were doing what? We are campaigning. Unfortunately, that's the way of our politicians on earth. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. And so today we want to look at what I call a day in the court of heaven. A day where? In the court of heaven. We're going to be looking at Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3 from verse 1 to verse 7. Zechariah 3, 1 to 7. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to do what? To resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spoke unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquities to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair meter upon his head. So they set a fair meter upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, and that's the last verse, thus said the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, If thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by, a day in the court of heaven. The Bible says, Joshua the high priest stood, and somebody else was standing at his right hand. And we are told, in a way that we cannot be saying, I don't know. He stood to do what? In verse 1. To resist him. Satan was standing on the right hand of Joshua the high priest to resist him. Why was Satan resisting Joshua? Why was Satan interested in resisting Joshua? It's the same reason he's resisting many of us. When you go to Ezra chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Ezra 5, 1 and 2. The Bible says, then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Verse 2. Then rose up Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, that was the governor, and Joshua the son of Jozadak, who was the high priest, and they began to build the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. When you go to the book of Haggai chapter 1 from verse 1, you realize that the prophets of God that were helping them included prophet Haggai. Haggai was among the prophets that came together that were helping them. So the reason that the Satan resisted Joshua was because Joshua had a special assignment. Joshua had what? How many of us here think we have a special assignment? If you have a special assignment, the devil will do what? He will resist you. If you don't want the devil to resist you, it means you want to live, you want to live like a nobody, die like a nobody, and be forgotten like a nobody. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Every one of us has an assignment. Every one of us has a task. Every one of us has something the Lord has called us to do. If you are going to fulfill that destiny, be prepared. Somebody will resist you. And who is that person? It's not your boss. It's not your friend. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's Satan. Because you have an assignment. Because you have an assignment. It's not as if Joshua woke up one day and said, oh, I'm a man of God. I will build for God. They said he was a high priest. He was a high priest in a place where there was no temple. In the Old Testament. So what was he high priesting? Is somebody with me? Joshua was a high priest. Meanwhile, he was a high priest by name only. He just had a title. There was nothing for him to do. If you remember this way things were ordered in the Old Testament as opposed to the way they are ordered in the New Testament, they once tried to build, the officials of the land harassed them and they abandoned the work. Everybody disappeared. High priests, they were wonderful farmers. Levites that had their own flock of sheep and had nothing to do with the temple. But then one day, Haggai arose. In Haggai chapter 1, from verse 1 to 11, we are not going to read it. Haggai 1, 1 to 11. Haggai arose and began to speak unto the people. Actually, he spoke unto Zerubbabel, the governor, and to Joshua, the high priest, saying, this is what the Lord is saying. These people say the time is not come. The time is not come for what? That the house of the Lord should be built. Then the word of the Lord came and said, he said, is it time for you to dwell in your houses and this house lies waste? In verse 5, it says, now thus says the Lord, consider your ways. Tell somebody, consider your ways. Consider your ways. So Joshua was happy. He was relaxed. He never had to do the work of the high priest. You know, the work of the high priest was a dangerous job. Do you know that? It was a dangerous work. The Bible says there was the outer court. There was the holy place. There was the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies, only the high priest could go there once a year. And there was no assurance that if he went there, he would come out alive. So if there was anything that will prevent you from risking your life once a year. It's better you just do. Others, those that are farming and are making a living, they don't have two heads. So, led me to go and do what? Go and farm. And they were having a good time, even though they say it was the high priest. But then the word of the Lord came, yes, you are a farmer. No wonder. You are farming, but you have nothing to show for it. Is that not what the Bible says? In which part? In verse 6. It said, you have sown much and bring in little. He said, you eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. He that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Verse 7 now says, thus said the Lord of hosts, do what? Please tell your neighbor, consider your ways. It's very important. Consider your ways this morning. Because the Lord is saying it's time to build for God. But not only that, the Lord is saying the losses you are carrying about is because you are only interested in your own things and not in the things of God. I remember last Sunday we were discussing. Anybody remember the topic for last Sunday? What was the topic of our message for last Sunday? A testimony of service. So in that order, what is the testimony of your own service? If the Lord looks at you today, will he say, there's no testimony? There's no record? Then you are among those that the Lord is telling today to do what? Consider your ways. And what happened? The Bible says in that Haggai chapter 1 from verse 12 that Joshua, Zerubbabel, the governor, the priests, the prophets, the people, they rose up and they began to build. And you know what? Satan was not happy. And I want to tell someone here today, if Satan is happy with you, you are in trouble. I hope you realize that. So those of us that don't pray, we just come to church once a week. And even that once a week when we come to church, we are very conversant with our wristwatch. We are the ones that know that they've not changed the clock in the church because that time does not rhyme. And we are eager to come and to go. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. It's very important. Satan will not, he has no problem with you. If you belong to that group, he has no problem. Is there anything called brandy dandy? You are cool because you are in the same league. With who? With him. Now, what's the meaning of that name, Satan? The name Satan means the adversary. It means what? It means the adversary. It means one who withstands. In other words, you know, the wind that was blowing, was it yesterday? When we went for evangelism, if you are facing a particular direction, the wind is behind you and to be aiding your movement. If you turn and face the other direction, what happens? The wind is pushing you back. Satan is the one that withstands. It's like that wind that is pushing you back. You want to move forward, but he's standing and saying you ain't going nowhere. But I want to tell someone here today, you are going somewhere.
Amen.
I said you are going somewhere.
Amen.
The word Satan also means the accuser. It also means what? The accuser. The accuser. See, the angel of the Lord rebuked Satan in this particular court situation and said, the Lord rebuke you. But when you go to your scriptures, you find out that there was a time the Bible says in Jude verse 9, Jude has only one chapter, that Michael the archangel contended with this same devil, this Satan, who came to dispute about the body of Moses. But he didn't blow any language. All he told him was what? The Lord rebuke you. So if that is a prayer language you learn today, you are going to put the devil where he belongs.
Amen.
Because when you begin to tell him the Lord rebukes you, he knows you are a man, you are a woman that knows what? Your authority.
Yes.
That knows your right. That can tell him that you can't withstand me. You can't push me back. What does it mean to rebuke? To rebuke means to forbid. In other words, the Lord is saying, what you want to do in my life, you can't do it. The Lord is saying, I forbid you from doing that. Isn't that wonderful? To rebuke means to penalize. So when you tell Satan, the Lord rebuke you, you are saying, ah, Satan, the Lord is the one that will do what? Penalize you. Amen. The Lord already, see, that's why, brethren, Satan fears Christians that are on fire. Satan fears who? Now, please ask your neighbor, are you on fire? Because if you are not on fire, Satan does not fear you. He doesn't. And you are on fire when the living God is your God. When you make up your mind, you know, there's that song that we sing that says, for this God is my God forever and ever. He will be my guide from now even. You've got to make up your mind that this God will not only be your God, he will be your guide. He will direct your steps. So to rebuke means to forbid. To rebuke means to penalize. To rebuke means to judge. To do what? You know, many of our sisters will know what I'm saying. And when things get heated up and they want to pass the message across to that person, it could be a fellow sister, it could be a brother, and they are crying. He said, God will judge between me and you. God will judge between me. Do you know what I'm saying? God will judge between me and you. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. To rebuke means to judge. And when I say the Lord rebuke you, I'm saying the Lord will do what? The Lord will judge you. The Lord will judge you. I want to make some pronouncements before we continue. You are going to say after me. Say, Satan.
Satan.
The Lord rebuke you.
The Lord rebuke you.
When I say concerning my job, what are you going to say?
The Lord rebuke you.
But maybe we can put it better. Let me not just be the one saying concerning my job. So I think you should say it after me. When I say concerning my job, the Lord rebuke you. You two are going to say concerning my job.
The Lord rebuke you.
Because like our elders will say, how do they say it? It is with your mouth that you will call unto yourself that which is good. Goodness. Are we together? So what I will do is I will just say concerning my job. Then you will now say, concerning my job, the Lord rebuke you. Are we together? As you remember what the Lord said? He said, as you have spoken in my ears, whatever the devil is using to cheat you today, he will lose out in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We are going to start with that. So, concerning my job.
Yeah,
don't stop at the Lord rebuke you. Say, the Lord rebuke you. But you have not put his name there. So, concerning my job, Satan, the Lord rebuke you.
In
good. Concerning my career.
Satan,
the Lord rebuke you in
Jesus' name.
Concerning this one, you are going to say whatever is appropriate. I put it as concerning my wife or husband. You will now say, I will say concerning my wife, and you will say concerning my husband. Is that not so? So, concerning my wife or husband, concerning my wife, Satan, the Lord rebuke you in Jesus' name. Concerning my home, Satan, the Lord rebuke you in
Jesus' name.
Concerning my children. Concerning my children. Satan, the Lord rebuke you in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to talk about womb. Because when we say womb, we say only that is only for women. No, it's for all of us. It's for all of us. If you are a dreamer, and when I say a dreamer, if God has given you a vision, and you are incubating it, you are building it up until it gets to a point of manifestation. It's in the womb. It's in the womb of ideas. It's in the womb where the Holy Spirit is brooding over it. So concerning my womb.
Concerning my womb.
Satan, the Lord rebuke you in Jesus' name. Concerning my ministry. Concerning my ministry. Satan, the Lord rebuke you in Jesus' name. Concerning my academics. Concerning my academics. Satan, the Lord rebuke you in Jesus' name. Concerning my finances. Concerning my finances. Satan, the Lord rebuke you in Jesus' name. Don't be in a hurry to sit down. Genesis 49:25 says, even by the God of your father, who shall help thee? I pray for someone here, God will help you.
Amen.
He said, and by the Almighty, who will bless you with the blessings of heaven above?
Amen.
God will bless you with the blessings of heaven above.
Amen.
God will bless you with the blessings of the deep and light under.
Amen.
God will bless you with the blessings of the breast.
Amen.
And God will bless you with the blessings of the womb.
Amen.
The next pronouncement that we're going to make is, see, when that angel was rebuking Satan concerning Joshua, he said, is this not the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee? Is that also? So you're going to say, the Lord has chosen me. So when I make, for example, I will say, I will not fall. You are not going to say, I will not fall because the Lord has chosen me. Are we together?
Yes.
I will not fall.
I will not fall.
Because the Lord has chosen me. I will not fail. I will not fail because the Lord has chosen me. I will not be put to shame. I will not be put to shame because the Lord has chosen me. I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song because the Lord has chosen me. I will sing the song of victory.
I will sing the song of victory.
Because the Lord has chosen me. I will rejoice and be glad. I will rejoice and be glad because the Lord has chosen me. Somebody shout a big hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2, verse 26 and 27. It says, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied.
Amen.
And praise the name of the Lord your God.
Amen.
Who has dealt wondrously with you.
Amen.
And my people shall never be ashamed.
Amen.
I pray for someone here today. You will not be ashamed.
Amen.
I say you will not be ashamed.
Amen.
Verse 27 says, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. And I am the Lord your God. And honest. And my people shall never be ashamed. You are going to say, because the Lord has chosen me.
Because the Lord has chosen me.
As if you mean say, because the Lord has chosen me.
Because the Lord has chosen me.
I cannot be put to shame.
I cannot be put to shame.
I will not be put to shame.
I will not be put to shame.
I shall never be ashamed.
I shall never be ashamed.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
That angel now told Joshua, I said, don't you know that this is a brand plucked out of the fire? You are going to say, I am a flame of fire.
My father is the consuming fire.
I am on fire for God.
Fire of God,
fall upon me.
Fire of God,
consume me. In the name of Jesus. Somebody shout a big hallelujah. Amen. Let's have our seats. Let's have our seats. Let's have our seats. As you have spoken before him. As you have spoken before him, so shall it be in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So how do you get into the court of heaven? How do you get into the court of heaven? You get into the court of heaven by faith. By what?
By faith.
By faith. In other words, as we are here now, you want to enter into that court of heaven, all you need to do is release your faith. Remember, our God is omni-what? Omnipresent. He's everywhere. We all know he's here, is he not? But he's not just here. He's in your home. He's in your school. He's in that laboratory where you are doing your experiments. Everywhere there is ear, our God is there. And he will meet with you in Jesus' name. By faith, wherever you are, you can address this court of heaven or address the judge in the court of heaven. Just open your heart and say, Father, I thank you for hearing my petition before the court of heaven. Isn't that simple? Say, Lord, I thank you for hearing my petition before the court of heaven. And the moment you are ready to ascend, it's not physical. It is what? It's spiritual. God may choose to open your eyes. Some men's eyes are open to see what is going on, to see who is with them at that particular point. What and why is the accuser standing before them? But you know one thing about this court of heaven? It is rigged on our behalf. Tell me, it is rigged on your behalf. See, when you go to court on earth, no matter how much of the law you know, you are not guaranteed that you will come out the victor. Is that not so? The day that the judge will give judgment, his wife might have offended him at home. And because of that, the first person that comes before him that day, the person is in trouble. It's not the person's fault too. Is that not what happens at embassies? You go for visa, and the man is just angry. Maybe that day, his boss told him some things. And in the middle of his mind, that everybody that comes here today, nobody is getting a visa. Yes, he will look for reasons to deny everyone except God intervenes. But the court of heaven is not that. It's not like that. It's rigged in our favor. Tell somebody it is rigged. In my favor. Because the judge is our father. Is that not so? Remember where we started? We said you start with a relationship. And the most important relationship is that of what? Fatherhood. You are coming before your father. So it is when you don't come before him that the devil can have his way. But the moment you come before him and say, Father, I'm here, and you come before him with his word, you are assured of one thing, of victory. Because not only is the judge your father, there's an advocate there, Jesus Christ. And whatever the devil brings, he says, Daddy, is that not why I died? Satan goes, but this guy wants to nullify the purpose of my death. But you know what? God is a just God. So you must bring the case to him for him to adjudicate. I hope that's the correct language. And then he will give you victory. That's why we say it's a court in which everything is rigged in whose favor? In our favor. Psalm 100 verse 4. He says, enter his gate with thanksgiving. Enter his court with praise. So you want to ascend to this court of heaven. What do you start to do? Begin to give him thanks. That's why the Bible says, in everything, do what? Give thanks. Either you like it or you don't like it, do what? You know, I've told us here before, I love that song where they sing, that they say, hallelujah, anyhow. My own interpretation, there are some things that happens to us that the devil wants you to become melancholic and morose. He expects you to go and put your head in one corner and say, oh, it has happened again. Oh, am I the only one? I'm even tired, self. That's what the devil wants to hear. Do you want to give it to him?
No.
Ah. The Bible, when you now go to and say, the Bible says, though he slay me, yet will I do what? I say, I've lost this one. See, before I lose many more, I better run away from him. Learn to praise God every time. Because by praising God, you do what? By giving thanks to him, you enter into his gate. Then by praising him, you enter into the court. That's what the Bible says. Once you enter the court, the man is already shaking. See, this one has known the secret. Tell someone, I know the secret. And it's not, you don't just pray, give thanks and get in there and say, oh, it is wonderful. Bye. That's what many of us do. You wake up in the morning, you sing some praises and all that. Oh, what a wonderful day. And you are off. Talk to your father. Bring those issues before him and support it with the blood, with the word of God. Because the moment you come into the court, The blood of Jesus is waiting for you there. For your cleansing. For your what? Cleansing. That's what happened to Joshua. Joshua was in that court. They looked at him. He was filthy. They didn't ask him, how did you get here? What was said about him? Say, take away the filthy clothes from him. See, that's why we're talking about the reason why Jesus died. The moment you get into the court, that court, let the blood of Jesus cleanse you, wash you, and give you the dress of righteousness. And that means you don't enter into that court and begin to justify your errors. You don't go before God and begin to justify your sin. And say, you know, God, you know that's what a pastor does, huh? And so it ain't my fault. In fact, in God's presence, Satan will deal with you. When you come before the throne of mercy there, you acknowledge your sin. Say, Lord, I have come because I have a case before you. Whatever my guilt, Jesus died for that guilt. Wash me with what? That blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary. There are things I don't know. I don't need to know. But I know you. And you are the living God. And I know Jesus. And I can see that the blood still flows. You know, many of us, the problem we have is that you want to pray in a particular way. God is not difficult. Is God difficult? He's not difficult. They say that pastor prays in tongues for how many hours? Don't try to pray like him. Go to your Father and be yourself. He knows you. When it gets to a point for you to pray in tongues for how many hours, he will guide you into that. You know that song we sing? Just as I am without. That's just the part I want. Leave the rest. Just as you are, come before him. And wash yourself. Be washed in the blood. Let the blood cleanse you. But don't come before him to justify sin. Say, God, you know, it's not my fault. I was in my own quiet. In fact, I was reading my Bible. Then Sister Teresa came in. It's not me. I didn't even go to her. But she did what? She came in. You know, God, that day I wanted to pray. It is because you want to pray that the devil will send Sister Angelina to you. Because he does not what? He doesn't want you to pray. But if you go before and say, Lord, I'm your son. I've fallen again. You are a God of mercy. In fact, the Bible says you are what? The Father of mercies. I am one mercy that you need to take care of. When?
Now.
Now. God forgave David. Is that not so? Why? Because his repentance was genuine. Was genuine. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse you. In Hebrews 12:24, the Bible says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 to 10. 1 John chapter 1. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from what? From all sin. The blood cleanses us from all sin. That blood will cleanse you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That blood can never be exhausted. It cannot be exhausted. It flows for you. Isaiah 61 verse 10. Isaiah 61 verse 10. He said, I will gladly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with what? The garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments. As a bride adorned herself with her jewels. So even though I came before him empty. Or even though I came before him naked. Oh, he surrounds me with his love. And he clothes me with righteousness. He makes way for me where there is no way. He speaks for me where I have no voice. Where I don't even know what is happening. And having done that, then you contend with the forces of darkness. You contend with Satan and his cohorts. How do you do that? You use the word of God. You are in the court of heaven. Use the word of God. You have no business with him. Your business is with God. Because the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities. Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12. And so I'm going to give one example and we'll round up. As God gives us the grace, maybe we'll look at some others next time. But if you have come before the court of heaven because of a sickness, remember we said the court of heaven is a place you operate by what? By faith. By faith. And this is very important. Sit down, come before the Lord. He sees you. Tell somebody he sees you. He knows you. When you look at the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find out that the Bible is a book of law. It's a book of what? That's why in those days, when the profession of law started, lawyers were taught using what? Using the Bible. But so you want to come before the Lord because there's a particular sickness you have been contending with, you have been battling with. Then you, what are the words of God that apply to that sickness? Isaiah 53:4-5. Isaiah 53:4-5. You are standing before the Lord. You are in the court of heaven. Say, your word says, surely he had borne our griefs. He had carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are what? We are healed. You are standing before the court or sitting before the court and you are presenting the word of God to who? To God. Say, Father, this is your word. Exodus 15:26, the last part of it says, I am the Lord that does what? That healeth thee. You are presenting his word to him. Then you go to 1 Peter 2:24. We know that passage very well. He said, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. I just took a few Bible passages. Then you will tell the Lord that, Father, judge this sickness. Do what? I stand upon what your son did upon the cross of the cross of Calvary. This is your word. Begin to do what? Judge this sickness. Because your word says it is unjust that I should be sick. Your word says by your stripes I am healed. And I come before you today, Father. I stand upon the authority of your word. I should be healed. I am healed. And you are healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That is how you present your case in the court of heaven. And then you now take your stand. You now take your stand. Because if the enemy has cheated you in any way, you need restoration. Tell somebody, I need restoration. And that's why you cap it up and say, Father, I ask for sevenfold restoration for whatever the enemy has stolen from me. Where did I get that from? Proverbs 6. We're going to round up from there. Proverbs 6, verse 30 and 31. Proverbs 6, 30 and 31. Say, men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. Verse 31. Say, but if he be found, he shall restore how many fold? So the devil has stolen some things from you. And the devil likes operating in the dark so that nobody can see him. But you have caught him. Tell Satan, say, Satan,
I caught you.
No more hiding place.
No more hiding place.
So you need sevenfold restoration. The minimum, when I look at my scripture, is fourfold. And that's what Brother Zacchaeus, that's what he said in Luke chapter 19, verse 8. He said, half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, is that not what the devil does? He said, I restore him fourfold. So minimum is four. Now the Bible says, whoever steals from us must restore how many fold? Sevenfold. And the Bible says, the thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill. Who is that thief? So you see that, and we can't operate with him on the basis of fourfold. He has to restore sevenfold. Are we together this afternoon? I want us to bow down our heads. I want us to bow down our heads. And let's begin to talk to the Lord. Let's begin to talk to him this afternoon. And say, Father, you know that situation that you don't like in your life. You may just have one Bible passage that the Lord is dropping in your heart. In fact, you don't even know how to quote it very well. But it goes like this. Somehow, say it. Say, Lord, I come before the court of heaven this afternoon. And I present my case before you. We gave the example of sickness. Your word says I should not be sick. Take away this sickness. Maybe you are contending with debts. Maybe you are contending with poverty. Maybe you are contending with whatever it is. Say, Lord, the Bible says, for my sake, Jesus became poor that I may be rich. He lived the life of a poor man. Why would the word not be fulfilled in my life? Begin to prove yourself, oh Lord. Talk to him. He's a judge. Judge today, Lord. Judge today. Judge today. Judge today. Maze karabasipolia kebo satole indragabo. Legarima sotolenda itragabo. Once you have presented your case to him, remember we are assured of victory. We are assured that he will give us a reward. We are assured. But what restoration do you want? Tell him and say, Lord, sevenfold restoration. Oh, sir, he stole whatever he stole from you. Whatever he stole from you. The devil stole the children of Job. God restored seven sons unto him. God gave him three daughters. But so that he will know that what he had was better than what he lost. The Bible says those three daughters, there were none as beautiful as the three daughters of Job in all the land. Restoration. Restoration. How do you want God to restore to you what the enemy has stolen? Talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him this afternoon. He's your father. He's here for you. He's here for none else. Yes, Father. Mazikarabasotolia. Likaroske prosotolendaria. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We lift your name on high. Be magnified, O Lord. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen. I pray for someone here today. The Lord will give you a new life. Amen. More than ever before, the Lord will make way for you. Amen. More than ever before, the Lord will make room for you. Amen. The loss you have suffered, for which men are pitying you, the restoration will make men to come and rejoice with you. Wherever, in whatever way the enemy has been cheating you, beginning from this day, you take your rightful stand in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Spirit of God will guide you. Amen. The Spirit of God will direct you. Amen. And the name of the Lord will be glorified in your life. Amen. You will be a testimony. Amen. So shall it be. Amen. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Are you in the church today and you've not given your life to Jesus? That's the beginning point of restoration. If you are not born again, the devil will be playing ping pong with you. You are here, you are not born again, you want to raise up your hand, we are going to pray together. Or maybe you are watching us online, you have not given your life to Jesus. This is the essence of it all. We said the Bible is a legal book. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is a legal process. Anyone? And I want to pray because of those who are with us online. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm giving my life to you. Write my name in the book of life. give me a new experience from this day onwards. When I stand before the throne of mercy, let me be accounted one of those whose names are written in the book of life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for we pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to our sermon here on Christ Chapel TV. Tune in next time for the next sermon. God bless you.
Okay, so let's show our hands towards our pastor for the word that he brought us this morning. Father, Lord, we thank you for your Son.